We're glad to be in the house of God tonight. Amen. He's a good God. And if you believe that, give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. I love the Lord for everything he's done for me. You know, God's been so good to me. The song says, I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. Amen. I'm going to get right in here. Tonight, I'm going to have you turn to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And we're going to start in the 7th verse. And the Bible says this. He says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord 3 times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, and in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Mighty God, we ask you to move tonight, God. We ask you to anoint these lips of clay, God, that you would help me, God, to deliver the word that you've given for me tonight, God. God, I love you. I appreciate you, God. And I'm asking you to help us, God, to hear your word and to put it in and instill it in our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I'm going to use quite a few scriptures if that's all right tonight. So if you want, you can kind of write them down. You can follow along with me. But I'm going to use the word of God to preach tonight if that's all right. That's all right, right? Amen. But I want to focus on a scripture that says this. He said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. And tonight I want to talk to you on this thought, sufficient grace. Sufficient grace. Amen. You can look all over the internet. You can look in the encyclopedia. You can look in the dictionary. You can look everywhere that you could possibly look to find a definition for grace. And what you will often find is a lot of things, a whole bunch of things that people say it is and believe it is. And you got theologians who argue with each other and they go on and on and on about what grace is. But if you sum it all up, you can find that grace is this. Grace is the undeserving favor of God. The undeserving favor of God. Amen. I remember when I was a young boy not too long ago. I remember being a young boy and my parents had a very strict rule. They said, you can go to school, but you can't go this certain way. And the reason we couldn't go that way is because there was a canal over there and my parents were always afraid that somebody was going to fall into that canal. My mom and dad had 8 kids and they didn't know where they were running at the time. They just kind of tried to keep track of them the best that they could. But we were not allowed to walk the back way to school. We had to go the front way and that was the only way that we were allowed to walk. Well, I got it in my brain that my friend wanted me to go with him. And so instead of listening to my father's advice, I went the back way to school. And on our way to school, we had this stupid idea that we were going to try to cross the canal. But we weren't even going to try to cross it the regular way, which is over the bridge. We were going to jump across the water. Yeah. Think about it. You're smart. Don't do it, right? That should be going through my mind. I should be thinking this through. And yet it's not coming. And all of a sudden, I take my leap. And when I do not make it. And I fall into the water. The thing about the water is that it began to take me. And it began to drag me along the bottom of the canal. And I was screaming, help me, help me, help me. Because I thought for sure I was going to die. I thought that was the end of my life. And I was scraping and trying to claw at the side of the canal, trying to pull myself out. And I just kept grabbing big old things of mud that just kept coming with me. And my heart began to pound and my mind began to race and I didn't know what was going to happen. And all I knew was that my life was over. I hadn't listened to my father. I hadn't heeded his advice. And now this was it. And I remember being pulled along the bottom, and my friend was telling me, just keep going, keep going, keep going. And I'm like, where am I gonna go? I didn't really know how to swim that well. And all I knew was that I was in a situation that wasn't good. And my friend finally came around to an end where he finally grabbed my hand and pulled me out. And I remember going home that day, and I was crying when I walked through the door. And my mom and dad asked me what was wrong. Well, my mom was there at the time. But I remember talking to my dad. And I remember telling him what happened. And I was ready to get that spanking. I was ready to get in trouble, Pastor. And instead, my father embraced me in a hug. An undeserving love. I had done what he had asked me not to do, and yet he still loved me. I had done something that made him mad or that should have upset him, and yet he still embraced me in a hug. And our God is the same way. He is a God of grace. He is a God that extends undeserving favor, the undeserving favor of God. Now, I'm going to show you something for a second. These are the scriptures that I was going to talk to you about. John, the first chapter and the 10th verse says this. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Go ahead and go to 11. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Go all the way through 14. But as many as received him, to whom gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of true grace and truth. There's that word, grace. You need to understand that our God is full of grace. It doesn't matter what we do in life. It doesn't matter the direction we go. It doesn't matter that sometimes we've fallen short of the glory of God. We have a God who is full of grace, and he wants to extend his undeserving favor to you, because he wants you to know that, yeah, you may not feel like you deserve it, but he loves you in spite of you. He loves you. John 1 and 17, jump to 17. I'm going to show you something. He says, for the law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That same God that came as flesh, his name was Jesus. And it's that very same Jesus who loves each and every one of us today and wants us to know that he is extending out some undeserving favor. He is wanting you to know that it doesn't matter what your life has been like. He is there to extend his undeserving favor. He wants you to know that he is the God of the good times, and he's the God of the bad times. Amen. You think about Paul, who was praying three times about a situation. And sometimes we look at this situation and we think, my goodness, how did God respond to him? But hey, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. And sometimes we take that personal because we feel like maybe God doesn't really want to hear our prayer, or maybe God doesn't really understand our need, because he looks down on us and we hear the preacher say, my grace is sufficient, or God's grace is sufficient. And you probably wonder, what can his grace do? Well, let's take a look at what his grace can do. The Bible says that his grace can save. Let's turn to Genesis, the 6th chapter, the 8th verse. He says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You see, there was a generation that was destined for destruction. There was a generation that didn't deserve God's love. And yet, there was a man who stood in front of God. And when he looked into the eyes of God, he found grace. And God found Noah. And the Bible says, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, for grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not about what I can do. It's not about what I've accomplished. It's not about what I can do right now or 10 years from now.
It's not about my ministry. It's not about the things that I'm trying to do for God. It's about what God has done for me. The grace of God, that is the gift. It is His gift to me. It is nothing that I can boast about because, Pastor, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. And He has grace that can save. And the grace of God can draw a man to repentance. If we go to Zechariah, the 12th chapter and the 10th verse, he says, "And I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." We can find a situation where we say, "God, I am not what, I don't deserve your grace. I don't deserve anything from you." And yet we can find a place of repentance and God's grace is open to us. You need to realize that God's grace is sufficient. Amen. God's grace is sufficient. There is nothing that God cannot do. There is nothing that God cannot cover. You may feel like your life is something that God can't cover. You may feel like your sin is something that God cannot cover. But we have a God who is there to show you the way. And did you know that the grace can provide your needs? Grace can provide your needs. I'm going to show you. The Bible says this in Acts, the 4th chapter and the 33rd verse. He says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." You're covered by His grace. You're covered by His grace. Amen. When you walk through the doors of your work site, you're covered by His grace. Young people, when you walk through the gates of the school, you're covered by His grace. There is nothing that can cover you because you're covered by His grace. You're covered by His grace. Amen. And it says, "Neither was there any among them that lacked." See, when you have God and you have God's grace, you don't have or you don't need anything. Because as pastor's favorite saying is, I'm going to use your saying if that's all right. If you have Jesus, you have it all. If you have the grace of God, you have everything. He says, "For as many as were possessors of the lands or of the houses, they sold them and they bought the, and they brought their prices of the things they had sold." And the Bible says, "And they laid them down at the apostles' feet." See, when the enemy tries to come against you, he's going to have to sell what he has to come and give it to you. Because God is, He has favor in your life. And He wants you to know that you are covered by His grace. And there is nothing that God won't give you. There is nothing that God won't do to take care of you. And the Bible says, "And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." God won't leave you needing. Now there's a difference between a want and a need, Pastor. I want a big boat, but I don't need a big boat to survive. I don't need a boat in my life to make it through to the next. Amen. But what I do need is salvation. What I do need is Jesus. What I do need is truth. What I do need is God. Amen. The Bible says there is grace for God to teach us. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm going through a couple things that grace covered. When he told Paul, "You're covered. My grace is sufficient." I need you to realize he was saying, "Amen, my grace is sufficient. My grace is good enough to save you. My grace is good enough to draw you to repentance. My grace is good enough to provide for all your needs according to his riches in glory. My grace is good enough to teach you." And what will it teach you? Let me show you. Titus 2:11 said this, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." We don't have an excuse. We don't get to go to God and say, "I never knew." His grace has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodly and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world. Not wait till tomorrow to get it right, Pastor. A lot of us want to wait till tomorrow, but what if tomorrow never comes? What if we wake up one day and we're standing before the throne room of God? What will our excuse be when God has given you your undeserving love and his undeserving favor? Amen. He says, look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. His grace is there to teach us. His grace is sufficient enough to teach us. His grace is sufficient enough to provide all our needs. His grace is sufficient enough to save us. His grace is sufficient enough to call me to repentance. Amen. There is grace to overcome sin. We do not have an excuse. The Bible says in Romans, the 5:19, he says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were sinners. In other words, Brother Landry was a sinner. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might be abound. But where sin abounds, I said where sin abounds, the grace of God doth more abound. You got to realize that I have a grace with God that covers my sins, that makes me an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Sin can't defeat me. Sin cannot hold me back. Now watch this. I want you to see something. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over me. It shall not have dominion over you. Sin cannot conquer you. Sin cannot destroy you. Sin cannot take you. Sin cannot take your children. Sin cannot take your wife, your husband, your brothers, your sisters. Sin has no dominion. We can only allow ourselves to take on sin. But sin has no dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but you are under grace. Thank God for grace that is sufficient enough to find me in a world where I need him. To find me in a situation where I can be an overcomer of sin. I have grace that is sufficient to overcome sin. And grace that is sufficient to provide all my needs. I'm thankful for a God who has extended his grace. But now, hold on. Pastor, does that mean that once I'm saved, I'm forever saved? And man, it doesn't matter what I do or where I go, I'm always saved? Well, let's look at what the Word of God says. If you go to verse 15, he says, what then? Shall we continue or shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace. He said, God forbid. God forbid that I continue a life of rejecting Christ. That I continue a life of finding no place for Jesus, Pastor. That I find a place where I can't even involve him in the life or the things of my life. I've got to find a place where the grace of God that saves and that makes me an overcomer of sin can fit into my life. Jump to verse 22, being made free from sin, and we have become servants of God. Ye have your fruit into holiness. Wait, I have to live holy? Without that, Pastor said it, no man without holiness, no man shall see God. But here's the thing. He says, you have fruit into holiness and the end of everlasting life. God's grace will give you life. You got to realize, he says this. He says, for the wages of sin is death. Why would I continue in sin if I know that the wages of sin is death? But you know what he says? He says, but the gift. That grace, the grace is the gift of God. And that gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. I am made an overcomer. I have Jesus. I have grace. Yes, I may be dealing with the thorn. It's a surprising to me. Well, not surprising to me. Whatever way you want to put it makes it sound good to you. But that Jesus wore a crown of thorns. He understood the thorns. He understood how it felt to be persecuted and how to be disrespected and slapped in the face and to feel the thorns into his body and into his flesh. And you find where that very same thorn might be in you, but you can be an overcomer. Because God understands and he's made a way of escape. For the grace of God, it gives you the strength to stand. He says this in Romans 5 and 2. He says, by whom also we have access by faith unto the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory of God. Now, here's what hope does. Romans 5:5. The Bible says, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God, he said, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Verse 6, and when we were yet without strength, in my weakness I'm made strong. He says, when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for me because he knew that I was going to need him one day. While he was on the cross, my name was on his mind. While he was on the cross, your name was on his mind. And he saw through time and he saw your situation. And he wanted you to know that God's grace is going to be sufficient enough for you. That God's grace is going to make you an overcomer of sin. That it's going to supply all your needs. That grace is going to give you everything you need. Including the ability to stand and the strength to stand when it seems like I don't have any strength left in my body. When it seems like all my strength is gone. In my weakness, I'm made strong. And the Bible says this. He says, the grace of God is to extend mercy. The grace of God is there to extend mercy. When you start putting all these things together, you got to realize that when God looked down on Paul and he said, my grace is sufficient for you. It wasn't about one thing. It wasn't about one simple thing that he could do for Paul. It was about all these things that he had done for Paul. It was about what he'd already done for you on a cross called Calvary. It was what God was willing to do. Amen. He wants to extend his mercy. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to do what? To help me give up? To help me throw in the towel? To help me sweep it under the rug? No, the Bible says to find grace and to help me in a time of need. Amen. The grace of God, amen, is there to extend his mercy when I don't deserve it, when I don't have anything in my life that I can give him. God knows and that I need his mercy and that I am at his mercy. Amen. And this is what the Bible says about grace also, that grace, that the grace of God strengthens the fellowship that binds every single one of us in this building together. Watch this. Romans 11, 3 through 5. Here's a man who feels like throwing in the towel. Here's a man who feels like, "Oh God, I've gone to you 3 times about this, and I don't know where you are." He says, "Lord, they killed the prophets. They destroyed the altars. And I'm left alone. And guess what? They seek to take my life. Woo! Lord, I got a list of complaints. I've got a lot of things that I need to talk to you about because I'm in trouble. And I'm all alone. And I'm the only one. Oh, woe is me. Help me, Lord. God, get me out of this. You can't leave me alone. You said you'd never leave me, never forsake me." That's how we talk to God sometimes. We act like we're the only one that ever went through that situation. Like he ain't never dealt with that before. Like he has never seen your situation. Pastor, why would you not walk in my shoes? Because they don't fit you, right? They don't fit me. But see, God fits in all of our shoes. He's the only one who can walk in your shoes because he's been with you since the beginning. That's what the Bible says. You're not alone. Look what he says. He says this. He says, they broke the altars and they seek to kill my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I've reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, that all this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. You see, God's already done his poll. God's already taken count, and God knows that you're not alone. God knows that there's a family, a church family, somebody who wants to take your arm side by side. They want to take you hand in hand, and they want to walk down this road of life with you, Pastor. They want to lift up the hand of the man of God and say, "We're going to do what God has called us to do. We're going to take everything that we need to go forward and claim the city of Tulare. We're going to do what God has called us to do." Why? Because you're not alone, Pastor. You're not alone. Church, you're not alone. Your city is our city, and God has an army that's rising up. Amen. And he says, for this present time, woo, it's not for yesterday, it's not for yesteryear. It's not for yester generation, it's for today, for this present time. The grace of God that strengthens us and binds us together to do the will of God. Amen. The grace of God is there to lift us up. James 4, 6 through 7 says this: he giveth more grace. Do you hear? He giveth more grace. He says it nonchalantly. He giveth more grace. See, God's grace does not run out. His grace is overflowing. Every time you look at the life of Jesus, you find where grace just is pouring out of him. It's in his eyes. It's in his actions. It's in everything that he does. He wants you to know that grace abounds, and grace is there to save you and to keep you and to hold you and to lift you up. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He said this, he said, submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil. And guess what? He has to flee. That's in his word. You can take him at his word. Amen. He says, humble yourselves. Go, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. See, his grace is there to humble us, to get us to realize, God, this is not about me. I cannot boast about this. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve your I don't deserve your favor in my life. I don't deserve what you're trying to give me. Oh, but God, thank you. Oh, God, I need you. Oh, God, I want your grace is sufficient to lead me to repentance. Your grace is sufficient to supply all my needs. Your grace is sufficient to teach me the word of the Lord. Your grace is sufficient to lift me up. Your grace is sufficient to bind me together with the church. Your grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for our mercy. You see, it's during this time of humbling that's when the devil wants to buffet us. Well, guess what? With every buffeting that he does, we get buffer. With everything and every attack that he brings against us, all it does is strengthen us, because we're not here to lose. We're here to win. And God has already taken the victory. Christ has already won the battle. And so his grace is there to lead us. Sometimes we need grace in our family, in our marriages. Watch this. Go to 1 Peter 3:7. See, grace strengthens any marriage. He said this. He said, likewise, ye husbands, Brother Landry, what, Lord? He said, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel. And he didn't say, oh, because she's weak. It's not what he said. He said, and as being heirs together. See, God's grace binds. Just like it binds the church, just like it binds the people of God, it binds the unity of a marriage, it binds the unity of a family. Why? Well, look what he says. Together, he says, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I wonder tonight how many times we've hindered our prayers. Brother Landry, I ain't preaching to nobody but myself, guys. How many times have I not followed the word of God in an area of my life where I've hindered what God wants to do, hindered the grace of life? God, help me. God, I need you. God, I know your grace is sufficient for my life. God, I know your grace is sufficient for my marriage. God, I know your grace is sufficient to strengthen the fellowship of my family and the unity of my church. God, I know the grace is sufficient for mercy. God, I know your grace is sufficient, oh, to save me. God, I know your grace is sufficient to draw me to repentance. God, I know your strength. Oh, there's strength in your grace. God, I know that your grace is sufficient. Amen. The Bible says that the grace of God brings hope. 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17, he says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. It's not just any hope. I hope that I get a raise this year. Good hope is I'm getting a raise this year. You got to realize that God wants to give you hope that is good. He wants to give you the hope that lasts and the hope that strengthens, because the grace of God is sufficient. See, the grace of God gives you identity. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And let me tell you something. We have to continue reading the rest of the Word of God. Because if you stop there, Pastor, I am what I am. No. He said, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me, His grace taught me how to live. His grace drawn me to repentance. His grace saved me. I'm not just who I am anymore. I am who He made me. I am what I am. When He said this, He was saying, I am today saved because of God. I am today walking in the favor of God because I have God on my side. I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I didn't throw it aside. I listened to the grace of God because His grace was sufficient. But I labored more abundantly than they all. And it almost seems like, woo, the writer got a little, I did it all. He says, than they all, yet not I. Not I. Not I, but the grace of God which was with me. His grace is sufficient. God, I come to You 3 times. Where are You? God, I got a need. Where are You? His grace is there to show you. You see, the grace of God, I'm closing tonight. You can come help me. The grace of God justifies us. He says, Romans 3:23 through 24, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You may have a past. You may have had a situation in life that seems to not go away. We must sometimes have to fall constantly before the throne of God and go boldly. And sometimes going boldly doesn't mean, but sometimes it's boldly before the throne of God and understanding that He's giving me undeserved favor. I don't deserve it. I shouldn't have it. Pastor, I shouldn't feel the call to repent. I'm a sinner. God calls men to repentance, not man. Man don't call man to repentance. Man don't even call himself to repentance. God calls men to repentance. And when we find the grace of God and His grace, stand with me tonight. His grace is standing by, waiting for us to recognize that we have been troubled on every side, yet we are not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We may be persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed, because grace is on our side, because the grace of God calls men to repentance, because the grace of God saves, because the grace of God is there to give me identity, because the grace of God justifies me, amen, because the grace of God is there to help me through the buffeting times, because the grace of God is there to lift me up. Because of the grace of God, God extends me mercy. Because of the grace of God, I have strength and I have fellowship together in my family, in my marriage, in my church. Because of the grace of God, I find a place where I can go and find strength to stand. Because of the grace of God, I know that all my needs are provided. Because of the grace of God, I know that I'm going to be taught to walk in the ways of the Lord so that He can lead and guide me with every step that I take. And with the grace of God, I can overcome sin. And with the grace of God, it's sufficient enough. I want to invite you down. Everybody come down here tonight. I want us to just lift our hands and begin to thank God for His grace. I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know what you've been through, but God does. God knows where you're at tonight. And God wants you to know that tonight you can go home a different way with His grace fully established in your life. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. His grace is sufficient enough. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. God gave me a thorn. God, you know the suffering. God, you know the hurt. You felt the thorns. You felt the embarrassment and the disrespect and all the things that came. But your grace is sufficient. For my strength is made perfect in my weakness. Amen. Mighty God, we thank you tonight, God.
God's grace that taught my heart.
Worship Him tonight. Hallelujah. Thank Him for His grace. Hallelujah.
Grace, my fears really
lift your voice, sing Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace.
Oh, I love you, God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, God. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for never giving up on me, God, I can't do this by myself. God, I need you in my life. I need you in my life. Incredible message. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Somebody said when grace became amazing was when grace was applied to my life. And I don't know about you, you may feel like you deserve to be here, but I don't deserve to be here. I have a past. I know the mistakes and the wrong choices and turns of life that I've made. But I'm so glad that I serve a God that does not want to beat me up over the head and cast me away. But He said, all thee that are weary and heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give thee rest. I'm glad for a God of mercy and grace. Aren't you glad for a God like that? Hallelujah. And I'm a firm believer. You get what you give. And there are a lot of mean and vindictive people out there. And the old adage is that hurting people hurt others. And the reason they're hurting others is because they've never experienced this. They've never experienced sufficient grace. And if they would just come in contact with God, that's why the Bible says perfect love casteth out all fear. When you come in contact with perfect love, you begin to walk into a realm, into a dimension of grace, the unmerited favor of God. You deserve judgment. You deserve death, for the wage of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Thank God for grace. And so God's given us grace. And here's the message. We ought to give it to others. We ought to tell somebody, hey, there's a better way. It's not in the bottle. It's not in the drugs. It's not in the things of this world, but it's in God. God has grace to give. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Landry. That was on point. Amen. Thank you for Word of God. God, I pray for everybody here tonight. I pray, God, that you touch them. I pray that they begin to walk in the supernatural this week. I pray, God, that you'd open up their eyes to let them know you love them and you're concerned about them. You've got grace. Your grace is sufficient for them. God, when we're weak, you become strong in our lives. I pray blessings upon them. What they put their hand in, let it prosper. In the name that's above every name, in the name of Jesus. Clap your hands unto the Lord.